God. Oh, give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope, the rest, for the redeemed, the good and blessed. Yonder in glory when the crown is won, Jesus is now that star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on.
A woman and an angel, a promise and a song, a word too grand for any mind to hold. A tax law and a journey, a stable and some straw, he tell the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest, he is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, hear a lowly manger holds, and it's still the greatest story ever told. A hillside and some shepherds, a blaze of blinding light, angels singing carols in the cold. Eternal revelation to men as dull as stone, please tell the glorious story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest, he has come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, hear a lowly manger hold, and it's still the greatest story ever told. Oh, sing glory in the highest, he has come, our great Messiah. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, hear a lowly manger hold, and it's still the greatest story ever told. And it's still the greatest story ever told.
Appreciate that. Those numbers in song, I tell you, the beautiful Star of Bethlehem, that's my favorite Christmas song. I like that better than all the rest of them. I don't really know why, but I do. Take your Bible tonight. Let's go to Matthew chapter 2, if you would. You might have thought, preacher, when are you going to get around to preaching something having to do with Christmas? Well, just a little bit tonight, all right? I've been preaching for 40 years, actually more than that. I've been preaching between 45 and 50 years. And I'll be honest with you, I ran out of ways to treat the Christmas story, all right? I tried to look at it from every perspective, you know, from the shepherds and everything. And I just couldn't come up with anything. So I said, you know what? The rest of the Bible's good any time of the year, all year long. So I just preach you the word of God. Matthew 2, if you will, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard those things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. I didn't realize how much of a stickler some people are for the details of the Christmas story. I was looking on Facebook earlier this week, and I saw people, and they were discussing the wise men. And some of them said, I refuse to put the wise men with the nativity scene in the stable. They didn't come when he was in the stable. And okay, that's true. But then one of them carried it further. They said, I don't even put the baby Jesus in the manger until Christmas Day. Well, okay. My only request is I hope they're just as careful about everything else the Bible says as they are about that, okay? I hope they're just that concerned about it. Hey, I just, you know, this time of year, oftentimes you hear people, folk, mention something called the Christmas spirit. And now, I'm be honest with you, I'm not real sure what the Christmas spirit is. Some people are more interested in Christmas spirits. But I'm not interested in that. But if you ask different people about the Christmas spirit and what it is, you're going to get different answers. So I'm not real sure. But I'll be honest with you, I don't believe the wise men here had the Christmas spirit. But I do believe they exemplified for us and what God's people should have, and that is what I call the Christian spirit. And I just want to take a few things from this message and from this account tonight and talk about that thing called the Christian spirit. The first thing I want you to see, look, if you will, in verse 10 where we read, says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Hey, one thing about the Christian spirit, it ought to be lilting. It's one of the greatest characteristics of Christianity and of Christians ought to be a marvelous, cheerful joy. It ought to be within us, all right? Man, when we bring kids to church, we teach them, I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Some Christians keep it deep down in their heart because it never shows up on the outside, all right? But, I mean, look, we ought to have that joy. It's a joy that'll bring a smile to your lips and a song in your heart, and I believe it'll do that for you. And just look at that. That's the Christian spirit. It is a lilting spirit. It is a joyful, happy, cheerful spirit that ought to be present with us on a regular basis. Because, first of all, there's a joy of initiation. You say, what in the world do you mean? Well, look at Luke chapter 15, would you? Luke chapter 15. Now, Luke chapter 15 is really well known because it gives a story of the prodigal son. But I want you to look at a few verses before we really get to that, that really lead up to the prodigal son. And Luke chapter 15, verse 7 says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And verse 10 says, likewise I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner that repenteth. All right? Hey, there is a joy that comes about from when you get saved, the joy of salvation. I mean, if that didn't stir your heart, if you didn't get happy about that, you didn't get cheerful about that, man alive, what in the world's wrong with you, all right? Are you sure you got saved? Are you sure you were born again? The Bible says that the joy comes at salvation. Even the angels in heaven are rejoicing over it, all right? Look, if they could get happy, surely you and I can get happy, all right? We ought to be some happiness in there with us, and that's the joy of the initiation. Boy, when the whole Christian life starts. You remember when you got saved? Man, I hope you remember when you got saved. There, I don't know about you, but there was some joy. There was a relief. The burden of sin was gone. But, man, there was a joy that came about it and came about me. And it ought to be there. That joy doesn't need to go away, all right? You ought to remember your salvation experience. You ought to bring it to mind ever so often, just to relive that joy that was there. But there's not only the joy of initiation, but there's joy of participation. You say, what do you mean? We'll look in John chapter 10, all right? Or excuse me, John chapter 15. John chapter 15, the joy of participation for the child of God. He said, what kind of participation? Well, hang on. Verse 7, John chapter 15, verse 7, the Bible says this, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and shall be done unto you. Now notice that, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. There's a lot of people go to the last part of this verse and claim that last part and want to forget about the first part. But that first part is the condition. You got to meet the condition before the last part kicks in, okay? It's only if you'll abide in him and his words will abide in you, then you can ask what you will. But you need to be sure that thing is done. But drop down to verse 10 here. He said, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things have I spoken unto you that my what? What's the next word? Joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You say, where's the joy? I'll tell you this. The joy is in obedience. In obedience. In obedience. You remember what it was like raising your kids? Some of you said, how can I forget it? I'm doing it right now. Sometimes the joy of raising the children is a trying thing, because it's hard for kids to grasp the truth of the joy that's in obedience. There's joy in obedience. I was just as hard-headed as every other kid is. I'm just as dumb as they all were. Most kids spend a lot of time thinking, if I could just get out from under the thumb of my parents, I could find out I could really have some fun. Hey, the truth of the matter is the joy, the fun, the thrill comes from learning to be obedient. Learning to be obedient. Hey, if you learn to be obedient to your parents, it's a lot easier for you to be obedient to God the Father. We learn that relationship, that obedience, all right? Just learn to be obedient. And that the joy that comes from being obedient. Because, hey, when you're obedient and then the fellowship is there, that fellowship is not broken. And it's a wonderful thing to have fellowship with God the Father. You want that? Well, if my words abide in you, and if you'll abide in me. He said, then you can ask what you will. He said, if you'll keep my commandments, if you'll keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Hey, There's where the joy is. The joy is participating in doing what God wants us to do and being obedient to Him. Hey, that's the Christian spirit. It's a joyful thing. But not only that, take your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter 1, would you? 1 Peter chapter 1, way over there at the end of the New Testament, pretty much. After the book of James, 1 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says this, that the trial of your faith, in verse 7, 1 Peter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hey, there's the joy of initiation, there's the joy of participation, but my friend, there's some joy of anticipation. Anticipation. World gets excited. We get excited if somebody's coming. We want to see. You get at these concerts where some knucklehead or some group of knuckleheads is going to come out and prance and yell and scream, and the crowd gets worked up. There's that anticipation. Anticipation. I've said before, we ought to come to church that way, looking forward to the preaching of the Word of God. We ought to have that anticipation. Well, listen, we ought to have an anticipation of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back. What an expectation that ought to put us. Hey, I've not seen the Lord. I'm not like the fellow that said he dreamed and saw a 900-foot-tall Jesus. I've never had that dream. I've never seen the Lord, not at all. But I tell you what, in the years I've been saved, I've experienced what He's done for me. And that's just done something to me. Because of that, I love Him. Notice that's what your Bible says there in 1 Peter. It said, having not seen, you love. You love Him. I love Him. But I want to tell you something. I'm excitedly anticipating and looking forward to His return. Oh, man, if we could just hear the trump of God sound. I'm debating, you know, always like to kind of have a theme for the year. This year our theme was anchored, and it turned out we needed to be anchored, all right? We didn't know the storm that was going to come. I'm really thinking about this year, the theme just being till the trumpet sounds. If I knew that'd bring him, I guarantee you that would be my theme. All right, it would be till the trumpet sounds, all right? Just keep on, all right? Why? In anticipation, he's coming back. He's coming back. He is coming back. He is coming for us. Hey, the Christian spirit is a very lilting thing, joyful, happy. But not only that, it is a lending thing, a lending thing. You say, what? Well, there's less self-interest. There's less self-indulgence and more concern for the interest and the needs of other people. Hey, it's this time of year. We're watching TV, listening to the news, and we tell about how many different programs there are to bring kids and get toys and everything for them and food and all of those kind of things are done. And people call the church and want you to help them. I've always marveled at people that want you to help them in Christmas, at Christmas time, but they ain't got one bit of interest in the house of God the rest of the year. None whatsoever, all right? But, hey, people think, well, hey, you'll have that spirit about you and you'll want to do it. The world even expresses concern for the needs of others at this time of year. This time of year. Hey, the child of God, though, realizes this, all right? The Bible said in John chapter 3 and verse 30, I must decrease. I must decrease. The Christian spirit is one of lending. And when I say lending, I'm talking about it's lending of yourself, if you will, as it relates to our time, our care for others and about others. And it ought to be a regular thing, all right? We ought to have that. Those wise men, we see here how they brought gifts in verse 12. They opened them. Now, they didn't bring those gifts to lend them to the Lord, all right? There wasn't any lending there. So if you were thinking, is that where he's going? No, they weren't lending him anything. They gave to him, all right? But I found this, if you'll get down the lending of yourself, then the giving of your means follows a whole lot easier. We're willing to give of our means, our material things, if we're willing to lend ourselves somebody else, all right? We can do that. That's the Christian spirit. The Christian spirit. The third thing I want you to see is found there in verse 11, all right? Verse 11. If you'll turn there, it says, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down, the Bible said, and worshiped him. The Christian spirit is a spirit of love. Loving. Now, I'll be honest. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because I've preached to you real recently about this subject. But I'm going to say this. You can't claim to believe the Bible and claim to follow the Bible without loving the Lord and loving people. Now, you just can't do it. You can say, I love the Lord. You can do that. You say, I love the Bible and I believe that. If you don't love God, if you don't love people, you're not telling the truth. You're just not being truthful, all right? You know, I've seen this. I've never seen very many people that said, you know what, I just am tired of people loving me. I've had it up to here. Anybody? Now, maybe you have. Maybe there's an exception. But I honestly cannot think of anybody I've ever heard says, I just wish they didn't love me quite so much. Now, I've heard people say that in a joking way. But, hey, somebody that truthfully say, really, I wish somebody didn't love me that much. There's not a husband here that would say, well, I wish my wife just loved me a little less than she does. And there's not a wife here that look at her husband and say, you don't need to love me as much as you do. Nobody. We don't do that, all right? We don't have that attitude. But I'll say this. I've seen some folks that don't care seemingly about loving anybody else. Their love for somebody else is not very strong. Listen, the Christian spirit is a spirit that loves people. It's got a heart of love. A heart of love. The fourth thing I want you to see is this. It's lasting. It's lasting. Remember that song? On the first day of Christmas, right? And it goes through 12 days. Now, I don't know where did that come from? I don't know. Maybe there's a tradition, 12 days of Christmas somewhere. I don't know. Hey, I'm not just talking about the 12 days of Christmas. I'm not just talking about the month of December. Bless your heart. The Christian spirit ought to be something that's found in you 365 days a year. 365 days a year. To be honest with you, for the child of God, it ought to be Christmas all year long. If Christmas is about loving and giving and caring and joy, Christmas ought to be 365 days a year for me and you. Well, preacher, don't you ever have a bad day? Yeah, I had part of one today. So what was wrong? My fault. My fault. Fortunately, I was away from the house. So I could throw the biggest part of my pity party with just me there. Because after all, if somebody gets in there with you, it's not near as much fun to be able to say, woe is me. Life ain't fair, all right? Yeah, we have those kind of days. We have those kind of days. Sure you do, but wait a minute. Don't let it last all day long, okay? Hey, don't let it last all day long. The Christian spirit of lending and loving and lifting and lilting ought to be every day of the week. It ought to be every week of the year. It's for all Christians all day, every day. That's what we're supposed to be. That's the spirit we're to have. That's the spirit we're to have. Is that the spirit we display? That's the question. Can I say this with you? I'm done. There's no Christian spirit without His Holy Spirit. There is no Christian spirit without His Holy Spirit. And there will be no consistent Christian spirit in you and me until we're yielded to that spirit. To that spirit. So you say, what are you trying to say? I'm saying it is up to you. It is up to me. Well, things have just gone wrong. I understand that. But I just want to tell you something. That Christian spirit doesn't come from out here. It comes from in here. And all of this out here can't get in here unless you let it. Unless you let it. And it's when we let it in that it ruins our Christian spirit. And people look at us and think, I'm not interested in what you got. I can be sour and bitter without going to church. I can be a pain to get along with without doing all that. Hey, look, we're to have that Christian spirit, right? We're to have it. Question plain and simple. Hey, thank God for those wise men that came. They loved the Lord. You said, preacher, how do you know? Because they worshiped Him. Because they journeyed a long way to see Him. It wasn't that they had nothing else to do. They came a long way to see Him. They loved Him. They worshiped Him. They gave of themselves and their means to Him. And it brought great joy to them. Folks, I want to tell you what. That kind of Christian spirit ought to be on display in us all the time. Amen. All the time. When you're down at Walmart and the line is long. I went today to get some tamales because we have Mexican food on Christmas. So I went to get tamales, and I got there, and there was a line out the door. I think, this is ridiculous. Not only that, the temperature had turned, and it wasn't so cold, but the wind was cold, and I had to stand in the wind to get there. And not only that, they had a guy checking your temperature to even let you in. I thought, I just want some tamales, all right? But I'm glad it was there, you know. Hey, we can let all the circumstances of life mess us up. But hey, what you are and the spirit you have comes from within you. And what's out here shouldn't be able to touch what's in here. Shouldn't be able to do it. Heavenly Father, I pray You'd help us tonight. Help us to see that the child of God ought to display a spirit that's different from this old world. And Lord, would You help us that we'd display that spirit 365 days a year. It's not just what we do around Christmas. It's not just what we do on Sunday. But Lord, wherever we are, whenever it is,